economic health of this nation has
there are
been.
Four essential economic freedoms.
The excessive decline
greed
in the dollar.
For lack of a better word.
The late rally on Wall Street.
It's too big to fail.
Growing the economy.
Growing the economy.
Welcome.
This is Money Talks.
Well, good morning, good morning. This is Money Talks, Atlanta's longest running and most respected money show on radio. I'm Bill Lako, certified financial planner, along with Dr. Gene Hensler, PhD, Matt Haynes, CTFA. I can never remember what that is.
Doesn't matter.
Anyway,
right.
Well, welcome aboard, and I hope you're listening on Saturday at 10 o'clock on the answer.
The answer.
That's right.
9:20.
I don't know if we're double broadcasting this still on Sunday.
We are.
Okay.
Yeah, they still have other options, too. They can hear us on the Internet.
Let's talk a little bit about the broad picture economics. Mortgage surveys jumped up like crazy for people refinancing homes.
Right. Yeah, this is the second week in a row that we had a huge move in the mortgage survey, but really it's been led in both cases by the refi, and we still have rates that are 3.81, I think, on a 30-year mortgage.
Gene,
so it's
Gene,
really
it was
low.
2 weeks ago that you said if there's anybody else in the world that hasn't yet refinanced.
And there are. There
and
are
then
people.
Here we go 2 weeks later, and you've seen the surge. Obviously, everyone's listening.
Yeah, right.
Yep. They hopped on the bandwagon.
Right.
So new purchases
slid a little bit, but overall things are.
Yeah, new purchase. The housing market is not doing great. We've talked about that already.
We did get numbers on the December starts, though, the new housing starts, and it was up 4.4%. So they're still building homes. You know, that's a positive.
Oh, there isn't any question that they're building homes. They're just not building them very fast.
Right.
Builders are finding it hard to get loans in order to spec on houses.
Right.
And so mostly they're being built and sold and built.
Right.
Yeah.
And that speaks to the hyper-locality of it too, right? I mean, everything that I'm hearing from real estate agents and the guys in the banking space is that it's in pockets. So if you're in the right spot, you get the pre-sales, you can get the credit, you can build the house, you can sell the house. But if it's speculative at all, if it's not outside those hyper-local spots, it's a different story.
I mean,
it still hadn't come
back. Marietta Golf Club is just absolutely booming.
Over by the country club, sure, right?
It took them forever for Lennar to get them going, but, man, they're going up like mushrooms.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot going on. One thing that was interesting in that note is multifamily, like apartments, had been leading the way in the most recent survey that we saw, single-family homes actually
a shortage of supply for rental housing.
Right.
Because obviously we just said that they're not building enough new ones.
Yeah.
There. Retail sales, again, these numbers keep coming out, and they're not good.
Yeah.
December, they fell 9/10, basically 1%. They went back and looked at their last months in October, stuff like that, and they were down from the original forecast. And now, if we eliminate gasoline, because the prices have come down so much on gasoline,
right?
It fell about 0.5% on there. So, but the other side of this thing is that the big areas of spending are restaurants, furniture stores, and drugstores.
Right.
Now, restaurants and furniture stores are leading indicators of the economy.
Mm-hmm.
And that presses for good news. I don't know what drugstores tell me. I don't know.
Yeah. it's part
it's
of
been a bad flu season.
Hit me in the head.
Yeah,
yes.
No doubt. Mm-hmm.
So did I add something to the show?
Yeah, that's
okay,
it.
Yeah. Point that out.
Your work here is done, Bill.
The Beige Book comes out in all 12 districts of the Federal Reserve expanded, but by not by much.
Yeah.
Pretty much flat. And the interesting thing they say is that the producer prices only rose 1.1% over the year. And if they only rise 1.1% over the year, theoretically, we shouldn't see any pressure on retail prices.
Sure.
That's the theory.
Yeah. We saw oil inventories come out this week as well. And believe it or not, they, you know, for all the talk about how supply is outstripping demand, actually demand is increasing pretty significantly too. We saw a increase over the year ago level of 4.9% in January through the 16th.
Yeah. And that is in purchases?
Yeah, it's domestic consumption. They said that inventories actually increased as well, but it, you know, the demand is seems to be rising to meet some of that. Obviously, the top line crude supply is what's driving the overall prices lower. So
yeah, I heard a guy, one of the many experts that you hear talking about that, said it wouldn't surprise him to by the end of this year for oil prices to be back up to 100.
Yeah.
He said the scale is so narrow in their supply
right.
and demand. But then again, you got these tankers sitting offshore.
Yeah, I don't know that.
In the water.
To be honest with you, I don't know that it'll hit that $100 mark, but I will
I
be
don't,
amazed.
I don't either.
Yeah, I'd be surprised.
I'm going to be amazed if it's not much higher than it is right now, though. I believe right now we're around the levels that the North Dakota crew was saying that you know, this is about the level of their break-even point,
right,
$46
right.
per barrel. And I guess the Saudis want to see if that's true. You know, how much production do we get from here?
The other side, a couple of things going on also in that market is that bigger guys are coming in and buying smaller guys right now.
Yeah.
And what's it called, the Balkan?
The Balkan,
Shell?
Yeah.
Somebody
mm-hmm.
just came in
the
and bought
Bakken,
two, or,
yeah.
Bakken, bought two or three companies who were in there.
Right.
But no one's going to eventually dig in the ground right now at these prices.
No, it's a matter of how much they pump from the wells that they've established. Right.
But the one point I found very interesting is that it's a guaranteed gain for the account. People talk. You read these articles and it's push and shove because other people lose. Only 1% of the population of the employment works in the oil industry in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
And you so
yeah,
those 1% is going to get hurt, but.
But
right, it's very local. You'll see, I mean, like a statewide recession in Texas, or
sure.
you know, a pullback, slowdown in economic growth because of the price of oil, and the same thing with North Dakota. But you know, all 100 people that live in North Dakota are going to be impacted, except for those that can grow sugar beets.
He served his military.
Sugar beets. Yeah, yeah. They believe it or not, that's their other big crop. Sugar beets. They grow a lot of sunflowers and things like that. But the Red River Valley, now, they grow them some sugar beets up there. Dixie Crystals even got a presence.
I'm not sure what to say.
I'm just waiting for Bill to say something.
I'm just telling.
Interest rates were down everywhere.
Right.
And the 30-year Treasury is at 2.44%, the lowest yield ever.
Well, you know, we had a little bit of news on that today too. Today being Thursday when we record, the ECB came out and said that they're going to do what, $60 billion
yeah,
per month.
Yeah, I want to talk about that.
Yeah, $60 billion a month in quantitative easing.
So the ECB came out.
Right.
Okay. So they're going to try to do the same thing we did.
Yes, they are. They're only 6 weeks or 6 years rather late in starting. A lot of folks, when we started, it had, you know, they had a negative opinion of it. But if you look at what's happened right now, the U.S. is the only growth engine that we have on the globe, basically.
Okay. So if they start buying their bonds,
right.
drives their interest rates down.
Lower, right.
Okay. So if I have money in a euro, I might say, I think I want out and come over to the United States
because
they have higher interest rates.
Exactly.
So you buy bonds here, drives interest rates down again.
Yeah, and if you look at what's happened,
asking,
our
is
currency.
That how it works?
Yes, and our dollar has done that.
Yeah, and the other side of that is that the euro has fallen so much against the dollar. So you just don't get this lousy, 2.5% or something like that.
Yeah.
On a 30-year, you also get the 12% differentiation that it fell last year.
So
right. so your return would have been 14% if you'd bought a 30-year U.S. Treasury.
So I'm sure at some point Gene's going to pick up on where I'm going.
Yeah. yeah.
So where are you
even
going?
At his adult old age,
all right.
he's going to pick up on it. So if because of this momentum, interest rates going down, the Fed thinks they might still raise rates, but that won't affect anything because of the market impact of this. Are we predicting rates to be higher or lower by the end of the year?
Well, I don't think there's enough money coming in from foreign to offset the money that's been put into it currently.
Well, that's the thing, though.
You think rates have to go up?
Yes.
No, I believe that rates are on the rise. I've been reading some of the perspectives, and one of the
how many years we've been saying.
Well, yes, absolutely.
This is a recording from 1988.
Yeah, no doubt. It's only fallen for the last 30 years,
right.
In a trend. But
remember, it was a 30-year trend up, so there's a 30-year cycle in these interest rates, and we've hit bottom.
Wow. Right, yeah. But what's interesting, and maybe a better way to think about this is, the U.S. has pretty much carried the water trying to recover from the recession that we had in 07 and 08 into 09. The Europeans, like I say, they're about 6 years behind trying to get things going. If you look at what we did, you can criticize if you wish, but we're now into more solid growth. We're not growing at a great rate, but we are growing. And the only way that we're going to be able to get cover in order to raise rates is if somebody else comes along and tries to help that growth picture. The only thing that generally moves the Fed to do something like this, they surely don't want to kill the economy. Obviously, the argument's there that that having a zero interest rate is not a good thing. And if something came along, into the future, that we have very few tools to fight deflation. But now that you've got the Europeans that seem to be getting on board, I think it allows our Fed to do more to start.
There was something I read in terms that they had to give a whole bunch of special deals to Germany to get to get them to go along with this. I don't quite know the details of that.
Right.
But the Germans certainly didn't want this. And
They've been trying to get this off the ground for the last 3 or 4 months. I mean, back into Thanksgiving, maybe we were seeing this same thing, and every time the subject would come up, you would have several countries that were saying, oh, yeah, well, I'll fight this in the court.
But how are you going to get interest rates higher here? This is what I don't understand. If they're quantitative easing over there, which is going to force investment over here, I just don't understand how our rates are going to go up.
It's going to allow interest rates there, I mean real interest rates, to be lower, which juices the market like ours has been done.
Right. So the money's going to flow back over here, which is going to buy bonds and drive rates down. Right?
Growth ultimately, though.
No. I know you don't agree. But,
no, I do agree.
Oh, no, I mean, you agree with the math, but I mean...
Right.
No, it will. I mean, definitely, because who is going to buy? Who has any money to buy other than the Germans?
Yeah,
because everybody else has been in a recession of sorts and fallen down. And if they go in and they buy bonds that Italians hold, now the Italians have got the money and they're going to say, good, if I'm finally buying my bonds, I'm going to go to the U.S. and buy. So that's the only thing you're going to get.
It's not going to be enough money coming from Europe over here.
No, that's what I said.
To stop interest rates from going up.
But it's another reason to say that rates aren't going to go up as much as they quote normally would, whatever that means.
Yeah.
Well, watching it as close as we have, knowing that it's going on, I will tell you that the interest rates in the U.S. markets fell, and this was Treasuries, like the 10-year fell 12 basis points the very morning that this was announced. But as the day has worn on, it's up overall about 2 basis points. So we're more or less where we started. It's not really shocked the market. They showed what they were going to do, but I still say that low interest rates mean low cost of capital, means profits in the market, means economic growth, which I think is, again, the first step toward righting the problem that Europe's having. So it won't happen overnight, but I think that's we're on the road to their recovery, which actually helps everybody.
It helps everybody. After a bumpy start this year, the market is up.
Right.
It was up 2.1%.
Right, yeah, and through the past
today. I'm going to talk about interesting stuff in some of these earnings. See how Delta lost a fortune?
Yeah.
You know how
did they see it?
How they did? They hedged their oil.
Right.
Oh. And they hedged it the wrong way.
Yep.
Wow.
And you know that. Well, that's pretty
they bet that oil was going to be up, and they lost. But they lost. It was a $712 million loss.
Yeah. And you know, it used to be that the airlines didn't do that until Southwest came along in like 2005 and 6.
And just cleaned their clock.
Exactly. They were the only ones that had any positive earnings, and it was all from their hedging. But, you know, now you see that it can go both ways.
Yes, it can.
But, you know, overall, it was the news positive overall for Delta.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Without that, they make.
So how are earnings going so far?
I don't have exact numbers on it, but I tell you what, the banks are hurting like crazy. All the new ones coming out from the banks are bad.
Yeah. Here, I've got some numbers for you. If you look at sales growth in the financial markets, negative 3%. Earnings growth, negative 6.88%. This is the only negative sector. Right now,
so
it's
negative earnings growth, but they were still
which means
up.
They're contracting.
Oh, they're down.
Yeah, they're not losses necessarily. They're positive, but they're less positive than they were a year ago is the worst part. Overall.
Yeah, Wells Fargo was up 1 point, which was its stock was down. Bank of America, 11% drop. Citigroup.
Exactly. Yeah, the thing is, if you read deep into the earnings, you'll see that revenues are growing a little bit. Earnings are down, but the reason that they're down is because of their expenses are up, and much of it is.
So would you be buying financials now?
Regulatory expenses. I tell you, we talked about this last week, and the regulators have not gone away, and the net interest margin, the differential between the short interest rates and the long interest rates have contracted. It's not really a good time
The only place banks were lending money was in the automobile loans. And guess what's happened? Automobile loan losses.
Yeah,
started back up because they're quote lending to anybody.
Right. Yeah. There are areas of growth in the market. Materials earnings are up 44% on the quarter. As industrials are up 21%. Their revenues are up 6%. The revenue growth is actually not too bad if you take financials out, but of course we can't take financials out, and it's a huge portion of those folks that have actually released earnings so far. So financials are holding everything down.
Their trading profits are way down.
Right. Some of the steps that have been taken to try to take trading away from the banks has actually been a pretty big negative as well. It used to be that trading would offset in times like this.
That's correct.
And you see that it's going away. Mm. So it's, you know, that's really what's weighing on it. I think after we get past this front-loaded financials reporting, we'll see an earnings season that's actually not too bad. But, you know, we've got 25 of the 75 companies that have reported so far are financials. So,
yeah, it's the time of year they report first.
Right, it's making the numbers look
because they can
bad
just
right
make
now.
Their numbers up, so they don't really have to go do inventory. Well, so
no, believe it or not, it's true. There's way too much truth.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. Be right back. We'll have another case study we're going to do, and we have some questions you've called in about.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.